Welcome and welcome back, everybody, to the OK Grognard Show. Today is Monday, April 22nd, 10 a.m. Central, in beautiful Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. Today we're going to look at that wonderful section of the first edition Advanced Dungeons & Dragons Dungeon Master's Guide section entitled Use of Miniature Figures with the Game. Everybody likes to discuss that. Do you use them? I do. Almost all the time, but not always. I like them. I like minis. They're tiny and make me feel like a giant. Or something. Anyway, I just like them. I like collecting them. I like painting them, but not as much as I should. I like the way they represent the different characters on the field. I like how they make it easier, for me at least, to visualize what is happening in-game, particularly in combat. Not that it's ever exact, especially if you're underwater or maybe there's some flying involved, invisibility. There are many things that make miniatures not less desirable, but not as useful as they are in other circumstances. I remember when we started playing, of course, you know, we all came, my group and I came from a background of miniatures wargaming in the 70s. And when we read the cover of the little booklets and they said, with miniatures, you know, paper and pencil and miniatures, the idea was, oh yeah, sure, makes sense, of course. Why wouldn't you? And we used them. Now, we used them kind of casually in some ways, because at first we generally used them just to denote marching order, which, I mean, you can just write that down on a sheet of paper and hand it to the DM and he knows. But if you want to switch them around often, writing a list is less than adequate. So miniatures are easy to move back and forth and trade places and who's up front and how far away from the group are you if you're up front or in back. Are you trailing by 30 feet? What about the light sources? Because that made a big difference in early gaming. Nowadays, a lot of games kind of assume everybody can see, or soon enough can get some sort of a automatic ability or item or whatever that allows for no need for carrying expendable, use-upable, it's a word. Look it up. Use upable light sources, torches, oil for lanterns, that sort of thing. I know even in my first edition games, as soon as there's a cleric who's capable of doing it, there's going to be downtime spent making continual light stones for the entire party. And miniatures can be tricky with that. What do we got here? Ooh, I'm going to have to open it up for myself in another window because I won't be able to see it. Or will I? Use of miniature figures with the game. This is what it says on page 10. It curls over to page 11. You'll see that in the next image. The special figures cast for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons add color to play and make refereeing far easier. Each player might be required to furnish painted figures. Painted figures. Thanks for jumping in the chat. Got a new user there. Says, morning, friend. Been a minute since I used minis. Okay. And you're playing first edition, right? Such distinctively painted figures enable you to immediately recognize each individual involved. Figures can be placed so as to show their order of march, i.e. which characters are in the lead, which are in the middle, and which are bringing up the rear. Furthermore, players are more readily able to visualize their array and plan actions while seeing the reason for your restrictions on their actions. Monster figures are likewise most helpful, as many things become instantly apparent when a party is arrayed and their monster opponent or opponents placed. Furnishing such monsters is probably best undertaken as a joint effort, the whole group contributing towards the purchase of such figurines on a regular basis. Be very careful to purchase castings which are in scale. Out-of-scale monsters are virtually worthless in many cases. As a rule of thumb, HO scale is 25 millimeter equals 1 inch equals 6 feet, first edition. In scale, height or length or breadth. Yeah, yeah. Authorized user, unauthorized user. I'm going to call you W. W, look at that. Says, I did, didn't answer my first edition query. And Vince himself is in the chat. So that was the first paragraph. Let's pop on over to the second one and see where am I at here. I'm going to do a little finagling. Here we go. All right. Thanks for joining the chat, too, both of you. I appreciate it very much. Figure bases are necessarily broad in order to assure that the figure will stand in the proper position and not constantly be falling over. Because of this, it is usually necessary to use a ground scale twice that of the actual scale for HO. And squares of about 1 actual inch per side are suggested. Each ground scale inch can then be used to equal 3.5 linear feet. Of course, we use 5. So that a 10-foot wide scale corridor is 3 actual inches in width and shown as 3 separate squares. This allows depiction of the typical array of 3 figures abreast and also enables easy handling of such figures when they are moved. While you may not find it convenient to actually use such figures and floor plans to handle routine dungeon movement, having sheets of squares for encounter area depiction will probably be quite helpful. If you do so, be certain to remember that ground scale differs from figure scale, and when the space is actually six scale feet with respect to length, this is meaningful when attacking a snake, dragon, etc. If characters are able to attack the creature's body length with respect to basically bipedal erect creatures, next page, this is page 11, scale will not be a factor. Details of preparation and painting of miniature figures for the game are not germane to this work. Your hobby supplier will have an assortment of small brushes and paints for such purposes, and you may inquire there as to the best techniques for painting. Well, that may well be true, my friends, that the hobby store will help you out with the painting and the tips. And I'll tell you what, they didn't have YouTube back then, did they? So there you go. I'll also say this. While most of that is very true, even now, as it is written, 5 foot to an inch is generally what people do, and I even do it when I'm playing first edition. Most figures are 28 to 32 millimeter scale, but it's still considered often a 6 foot figure, so keep that in mind. And it all works out just fine. Everything's an abstract in certain amount of, in a certain way, so take everything with a grain of salt. But that's what it says in the DMG first edition when it came out in 79. This is how Gary felt about miniatures and scale and all that other stuff. It's recommended, let's say. that you use miniatures. It's certainly not necessary, and as he says, it's not always worthwhile using them when playing. You know, if you're just running down a hallway and running around a place or going to the town and talking to the people, you don't need them. It might be fun. It might be fun for a DM to set up an entire town with a bunch of figures and stuff, and that's visualization of the environment is always a good thing. Anyway, that's the long and short of it. Thank you very much for popping in today, you guys in the chat. I appreciate it. I'm just going to sign off here and say, what am I going to say? This has been a look-see at first edition Advanced Dungeons & Dragons Dungeon Master's Guide section on use of miniature figures with the game here in beautiful Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. The show streams live on Twitch each Monday at 10 a.m. Central, and then it's archived on YouTube. Check it out, follow, subscribe, thumbs up, all that other stuff. Remember, thanks to our Patreon supporters, Tom Tullis of Fat Dragon Games, Carlos Lysing of Castle Entertainment, Heath Farndon of the Antipodean D20, Dave O'Brien of Four Quacks Games, Shane Bradley, as always, DM extraordinaire. I think you need to put Vince on there too, don't I? Hey, there you go. He's a DM extraordinaire himself now. This has been the OK Grognard Show from beautiful Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. Thank you, and bye-bye.